Every day is game day.
By Griff Flooring a couple times yesterday, right there in Easley, and love it. Griff Flooring of Easley is doing a terrific job. I've been there, man. I love what these guys are doing. I told you I spent about, supposed to spend about 30 minutes, spent 90 minutes learning more about who they are and what these guys are doing. We love it. It's our great friends over at Greer Flooring. Greer Flooring Center does an absolutely incredible job with this consultation team of getting you the right product and what you might think you need, and what you end up getting might be two different things. You might already have a good eye for it and a good experience for it. Know what you want. Hey, the best products, the best warranties, the best installers, and by far the best situation you're ever going to have when it comes to flooring. Let Greer Flooring take care of you. Retail 2.0, the floor visualizer stuff, the technology stuff, even the area rugs. Where we're coming with technology-wise with carpets and rugs and flooring now really is amazing. Find out how and why the next time you need it, residentially, commercially. It's our friends over at Greer Flooring Center. In Greer for 35 years now and Easley, last couple, right across from Toyota of Easley. Love our great friends at Greer Flooring Center. We're going to get Dr. Martin here in a second. Delvin Howe, hang on. I'm coming to you. Dabo Swinney met with the media after Saturday's scrimmage and gave us a little recap there with the media of what he thought of his team's performance.
Well, we got the first preseason game down. It's about as good as we can do. It was a competitive day, really competitive on both sides. Got a lot done. This was the first time to really we had a very controlled, probably 6 to 9 live plays earlier in the week, but this was the first time to really just go play the ball, you know, where it is. And, you know, just have to react to the situations. Good for the coaches. We had ACC refs here today. Really tried to, you know, create a good game feel for the coaches, too, just as much as the players, especially we've got a couple of new people from an operations standpoint on how that's going to flow. So, again, very competitive. It was good to see the defense. I thought they made a couple, really had a couple scores early. Strozier had a big play. Tink had a big play, kind of set the tone early in the day. And then offense battled back, made some big plays. So it was a lot of kind of, it's probably one of the more competitive scrimmages, honestly, that we've had since, you know, in a while, as far as the first scrimmage. For whatever reason, sometimes that first scrimmage, and it's, you know, sometimes one side it just has a better day than the others, but I thought there was moments I was, you know, from my seat, I was mad at the offense and I was mad at the defense, and then I'd be happy with the offense and I'd be happy with the defense, then I was pissed again. From my experience, that's usually not a bad thing when you got both sides that really competed. I've been around some where, like I said, it's just a bad day, and then a lot of times they'll rally back the next day. But it was some good and bad on both sides, very competitive. A lot of guys flashed. And, you know, got some really, you know, good work. All the field zones. Got a bunch of red zone. Finished up the day with some short yardage. And then we first and goal on the 9, play it. We had a couple of racks of that. Then we had some goal line finish up as well. Had a lot of punting. Competition today, tried to create as much pressure on those guys as we could from a punting standpoint. And same thing, there was some good, and you know, just as I tell them, I need them to be consistently good, not occasionally great. You know, we got to just kind of hone that in, and we're getting better. It's good competition. It's a 3-horse race right now, and some really, really good at times from all of them. And there's a miss here or there, and we just got to get the misses to be a little bit more, you know, in line with what we need from what we consider a miss. But overall, good day. Again, a lot of young people, a lot of young guys flashed, and got some really good work with the quarterbacks. Had some sudden change with CB going in. I thought he did an outstanding job, you know, just jumping in there with the ones and had, I think, 3-play touchdown drive, a couple big throws. So, you know, some good, on both sides.
Pleased with the tackling for the most part?
Yeah. I mean, there was nothing glaring. There wasn't anything glaring. I didn't think our third defense was as, that was probably the worst part of the defense today.
All right, a little third defense gets to play against LSU. Late with a big blow on that one. Thanks, Sam. What'd you hear from Dabo Swinney? What was your main takeaways from the first opening segment? Opening comment.
Well, I like that Christopher Vezina got some looks. I think it's one of the key points of emphasis for this team to get him in the game at some point throughout the season, pretty consistently, get him some reps. I continue to be encouraged by what I've heard about some guys on that second team in the secondary.
Yeah.
That was a spot where they were not great at times last year, and they got cooked in some departments. Need to be better there. It's good to hear that some guys are stepping up. Strozier making some waves this season is big. I think that's a guy that they internally want to make a big jump, and he's done that so far, at least somewhat. Tink Kelly making an impact. You just kind of want to see that second team perform better than it did at times last season, both practice and in games. Because guys are going to get hurt. Guys are going to go down. And if you want to win a national title, you're going to have
depth. That was one of the arguments I heard, though, like Clemson would get up on people and then let off because the second team guys didn't look so good. Depth is a major concern here. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you this. If you remember going into camp 10 days ago, we had a discussion. And I had five things that I felt great about, and I had three concerns. Let's go over those eight aspects and see where we are, what we know. Coming out. Defensive line, again, Peter Woods, T.J. Parker, feel good about that. You got Amari Adams if you get him back healthy again, feel good about that. And K-Part, Burley's having a good deal there. We're hearing more about Lawson. So, yeah, check. Defensive line, everybody on board there? We feel good about one of those five?
It's hard to not feel great about the D-line. You hope the depth for the D-line room as a whole is. You hope the backups at edge specifically, I think, are better than they were last year.
That's right. The fourth thing I talked about was offensive line. I told you I went out to practice, and, man, that room has just changed. You don't see the really skinny dude's got to add a lot of weight, the tiny guy or the fat guy. You don't see the sumo wrestler or the swimmer guy. The room looks better, looks more athletic. They have some depths there. Everybody good on board? You feeling good about the offensive line at this point in time?
I feel as good about the O-line as I feel about any room on the entire roster.
Totally agree about that. Wide receivers is obviously a big, big deal there, and we're hearing great things about what I saw Wesco, man, that guy in practice, he's ready. T.J. Moore, obviously, Antonio Williams, Tyler Brown, and even Tristan Smith. Starting to get some more play there. I thought he looked really good in a highlight, make a guy miss kind of a deal. Everybody still good wide receivers? All good there?
Yep.
I feel good about Cade. Cade did throw a pick six in there. But,
that's okay.
Yeah.
But, it means the defense is doing its job.
Right. But everybody feeling good there? And then, as my buddy pointed out, my number one thing I was excited about or felt good about was Tom Allen. And what we have seen at practice, it's a different energy. I told you my buddy who goes to all the practices saying you can just tell that they're better coached. It's a different plan on defense. It's a different energy level on defense. And I think you're going to see that week one. And I think you're going to see that. Now, week one's a tough draw because it's LSU. I think you're going to see affecting the quarterback more, shutting the run down a little bit more. The way I understand it, Allen's defenses are very, very simple, but because he doesn't call a whole lot. But they can disguise an awful lot there. And there's an intensity level. So is everybody on board there? What you thought you'd get so far, those five?
Yeah, and I like that Dabo points out that he's been a part of camps and preseasons and scrimmages where one side dominates the other side, yeah. And that's almost more concerning than it is when both are going give and take.
Right.
You want to see some give and take. You want to see the defense fight back against what should be a really good offense. It's encouraging that they were able to come out against the team that should have a ton of points put on the board this year and look pretty solid, even against Vezina in a lot of reps the other day.
All right, my three concerns. Let's see if these have been addressed. So your strengths are still strengths. You feel just good or better about that. All right, my three concerns.
On paper, at least, they're still strengths.
I totally agree. I had my third one was depth at five different areas. You mentioned it before, Sam. Depth at edge. Lawson has provided some of that so far. I feel like that he had his, you know, a good scrimmage. You know, Helt hadn't done a whole lot there. Mayo, a little bit. I'm still concerned about depth of defensive end. Is anything easier, guys, concerned at all about depth of defensive end?
I still worry a little bit about this room just because there is nobody who has stepped up behind those top two, really. Yeah. I mean, Helt and TJ have done it at, both need to be better at this level too, but they've both done it at a P4 level and been good. Nobody behind them has necessarily done that, and if you're one injury down, things start to get a little hairier there unless one of these guys takes a step forward. So nothing has changed for me there until we see someone flash in a real game.
Things have changed for me with one of my other concerns, depth at linebacker. I like Brandon Wood as obviously, but I'm hearing good things about Alexander, good things about little Wood as, Drew Wood as, good things about McLeod and Creighton, and it feels like to me that there's a little more depth at linebacker, and you're not, you know, these guys, if Wood as and Brown are staying healthy, then you're only talking about these guys playing 10, 12, 15 snaps. I feel better about it now. I that's one of my things have been addressed. Anybody feeling differently there?
No, this is one that I've talked about a lot when hosting with kind of last year. A lot of guys got hurt. You lost a couple guys to injury. You lost some speed in that room on the back half of it in the depth department there. You lose some speed on special teams as well with that. There are four or five guys in this room behind Woodaz and Brown, counting Alexander, Anderson, Creighton, McLeod, the baby Woodaz, like you said, Drew Woodaz. All of those guys are capable backups, you hope, this season, and can rotate in and out, which is not something you necessarily had in that room last year. So this is one of the areas where my depth concerns do not necessarily exist.
All right. The other two areas about depth, one was in the secondary. Mm-hmm. Barnes has been banged up, and we know Lucas has been banged up.
Yeah.
But I am a little, I feel a little better in that I thought Lewis would have going to the season. You know, he got hurt late in the spring, and I thought he'd have more hangover. Apparently, I'm hearing good things about Lucas. And depth wise, you know, Tink Kelly had a big day on Saturday. I like that. Strozier, I had given up on Strozier, to be honest with you. I thought Strozier had some of the most poor tackling displays last year in several games. I'd given up on Strozier. Strozier coming along, feel better there. Gibson hopefully coming along, you feel better there. You know, now with Barnes being hurt, it's giving Jones and Hanifin and Griffin and some of the young guys a chance there. But to be honest with you, I kind of feel a little bit better. Like, I don't feel great about it, but I feel a little bit better knowing that Lewis is healthy and Kelly and Strozier kind of had a big day on Saturday.
I feel okay. Yeah, I want to see Khalil Barnes get back. I am intrigued by Hanifin. I'm intrigued by Strozier. I'm intrigued by what we've seen from that back half, the second unit there. I would like to see Jaden Lucas get back healthy because I know a lot of people are down on Jaden Lucas after last year, and I don't blame you fully, but he's not going to start on this defense if healthy. And somebody who has played multiple seasons now of high-level at least competition and started against it is very valuable off the bench, even if he's not a starting caliber guy like we hoped he would. So they need to get everybody in that room healthy, and then I'll feel okay about the depth there.
All right. Now I'm gonna flip one and two here because I want to talk about 2 second. My biggest concern was punter remains. Biggest concern is punter.
Yeah, you're not gonna fix that in camp.
Nope. And
we're gonna know week one or two.
Yeah, and I still don't have a big expectation. I think it's gonna be just a very ho hum. You know, not very good. With that said, my second concern was productivity and the depth chart and the starter even at running back. And I got to be honest with you, Davidson has shown some signs, but he's exactly what I thought he's going to be so far. He's a talented guy that's not ready to be the starter and is going to have to grow into his role. But, by the way, after hearing Green goes down for most of the season, Haynes is not quite ready. Adams is not quite athletic in there. But I will tell you this. I feel a million times better about Adam Randall and David Izumame. Izumame, there's a highlight from Saturday that you saw online that he breaks some tackles and scores. I think he had like a 24-yard run maybe. Randall has really taken the position by the throat, it looks like. I think you've got a decent 1-2 punch there. And I'm not saying it's going to be thunder and lightning, CJ Spiller and Davis, but guys, I got to be honest with you, like, I'm hearing some fairly encouraging things at running back right now. Thoughts on that position?
If you believe the hype on Adam Randall, you're going to feel really good. If you're skeptical because you've seen Dabo hype up guys before and then not get that level of production that you want out of them, you're going to stay skeptical. I'm choosing to believe it's somewhere in the middle with him specifically, where he's probably ready to play a very meaningful role right now and should be fine there. But he's not going to be a world beater and he's not going to be a bust. So I'm going to go somewhere in the middle behind him. It's all about developing Davidson near the back half of the season, I think, and getting him ready to make a huge impact in the playoff when you need to be able to run against really good teams. And then anything that you get out of guys like Haynes and Keith Adams and Ezeumume behind them is bonus, I think, in specific roles that they put them in. Again, specializing roles in this running back room, I think, behind whoever your bell cow guy is, if one exists, is very, very important. And they do have enough guys there that they can probably do that this season.
Landman, any thoughts on all that?
I mean, I saw Davidson in person, and, I mean, he literally doesn't look like a true freshman.
Oh, well, no, he's
and
physical.
I think he has the path of a Travis Etienne. Now, before I get jumped, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be anywhere as good as Travis Etienne, but I think it's going to be something to where, like, we're going to get midway through the season. He's going to break a couple big runs, much like we saw Etienne, and then all of a sudden he's just going to take over because something's going to click. At least is what I'm hoping for. Something's going to click, and then all of a sudden all of that, those intangibles, that size, that speed, it's going to take over, and there's nothing you can do to slow it down. But I think you stick with Randall because, I mean, also on the part you're talking about, he can block. He's right. Going to block for you, so he's going to be protecting Cade, and he can do a lot of other things out of the backfield, so I think he'll be just fine.
All right, a couple of quick things. You had asked me what's wrong patting the ball. Patting the ball is not the idea of physically patting it. Yeah. Oh, I should have been clear about that, but that's a football term. That means you're holding the ball too long.
Yep.
Through that. Number two is – it was on either ACC Network or something last night. I watched the COVID ACC Championship game against Notre Dame. And I got to tell you, man, I am really close to saying this. Travis Etienne might be the best football player to ever play at Clemson.
I mean, now, he was
– there was a lot of great ones in there. But I'm going to tell you, man, like, he completely changed what they did. I told you, down and distance meant nothing when Travis Etienne's in the game. Third and nine, that's okay. We'll just throw a little swing pass to him. First down. And he crushed Notre Dame in those two games. All right. And, again, I'm going to have that consideration. Matter of fact, we might even do that at some point in time, maybe tomorrow. You saying we'll be tomorrow?
I'm not tomorrow.
All right, but Wednesday? Remind me. Let's do some of that Wednesday. A short break. I do want to tell you about my great friends at Trail. I was at the ballpark yesterday and reminded, boy, Trail did an amazing job with floor field. And you heard the owner of the drive. I've read that quote to you, how they had a very short window. And so the reason they chose Trail is because they know it had to be done on time, and the budget was very important to them. And like so many times, again, you heard it right. Trail did an incredible job. TRELTL.com 800-319-7006. I was reminded yesterday. Matter of fact, we passed by Trail twice, but at the ballpark, man, floor field, yeah, good on you, Drive. You did a great job with Trail. Trail will do that for you in your next building project. Dr. Steve Martin joins us right after this.
We know America is in a health crisis, but when we say that, it can feel distant. It feels big. It feels impersonal. In reality, being overweight, it is personal. It's happening to people all around us, and the effects are numerous among people that we care about. Well, Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team at PhD Weight Loss are changing the narrative surrounding getting weight gain under control. They're not prioritizing shots or pills or popular drugs. They are prioritizing lasting solutions, learning how to eat, learning how to think about food. They are doing the hard work so that you can turn your body into a fat-burning machine using real food, behavioral coaching, and proven science. And these are habits that will last a lifetime. Literally, you could do them forever. Call today. Set up a consultation. You'll be glad you did that. 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com.
Looking for a big new game to play? Well, there's no game bigger than the new dino-sized Jurassic Park scratch-off game from the South Carolina Education Lottery, which gives you a chance to win up to $200,000 instantly. And if that weren't enough, you can enter for a chance to win an exciting trip to beautiful Hawaii, where you could win up to $1 million. So get down to your local lottery retailer today, and welcome to Jurassic Park. For game odds and details, visit sceducationlottery.com or the Players Club app.
Sweet summertime is coming to an end, And all parents know what that means. Back to school preparations. You have the school supplies, new backpack and clothes, but what's the one thing your son needs? A fresh new haircut that will start off his school year right. No matter what age, feeling good about yourself is always in style. Let him be his best self this school year, and call Roosters for your appointment today at 884-8920.
I'm Eddie Bennett. For 25 years, Bennett Equipment has sold and managed construction equipment. Bennett is one of Takeuchi's top dealers in the U.S. for the last 2 years by putting our customers first. And now, Takeuchi is offering 0% financing on all equipment and attachments, along with an industry-leading 3-year, 3,000-hour warranty. As we celebrate 25 and 25, we want to thank our loyal customers for your business and trust. And as always, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
Turn any day into a special occasion when you give her fine jewelry from Turner's Jewelers. Our experts will help you find a dazzling necklace, sparkling earrings, or a stunning bracelet. You know what she loves better than anyone. Turner's can customize a unique piece crafted flawlessly to show your love story. And when it's time to look for engagement or wedding rings, you can count on Turner's Jewelers to make the perfect day even better. Dream up a magical gift at turnersjewelers.com or visit Turner's Jewelers in the Applewood Shopping Center in Seneca.
Hello, sports fans. This is Bosey Boggs of the Boggs Law Firm, located in Greenville, South Carolina, but serving the upstate for over 20 years. We've always been happy to be long-term sponsors of the Mickey Plyler Show, WCCP. And just thank all the listeners who have used our firm in the past. And anyone who has a legal question in the future, don't hesitate to call us at 233-8066 or find us on the web at www.boggslawfirm.com. No case is too big or small, and I'd be happy to talk to you personally about your situation. And if I can't help you, I'll find someone that does.
After a long, restful weekend, Out of Bounds returns on Monday at noon. Of course, we have lots of college football preseason camp coverage, Clemson Stadium scrimmage, and some other goings-on around the Southeast and the nation as we continue to get ready for the college football season. Speaking of the college football season, it is a Mountain West Monday on the show. Ben and I are going to give you our favorite win total plays over under for the Mountain West Conference and that five-game Braves-Marlins series from the weekend. We'll have a full recap. Don't miss a moment on Monday.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
From the lake to the locker room, stay locked in with Clemson football coverage all summer long, only on The Roar.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. Love getting my friend Dr. Martin on now for our sports and performance, sports medicine, I should say, with our orthopedic surgeon, Blue Ridge Orthopedics, Prisma Health, head orthopedic surgeon for Clemson University Athletics, Dr. Steve Martin. Good morning, Doc. How you doing this morning?
Good morning, Mickey. I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm great. I was hoping to see you Wednesday with my son's appointment, but I'm out of town. My wife, you'll get a chance to meet two doctors getting together. She got a doctorate last week from Clemson. So you learned doctors will be, you know, probably talking in some language that us non-doctors don't understand. Anyway, enjoy
we'll
that.
We'll probably be talking about you, Mickey.
Oh, my ears will be burning. But I told her what a great guy you are, so don't let me down, Doc. Don't let me down through that.
All right, I'll behave.
All right, I want to get to the Falcons injury where we saw the game actually was even shortened because they on the field we saw some visible things that maybe it was just hard watching. But first and foremost, I looked at the injury reports over the weekend for the NFL and I saw some college message boards. I think, Doc, I'm convinced now every athlete on earth is in a walking boot right now. And I wanted to ask you, we've done this before. What injuries do walking boots have? Why do we have walking boots? How often, which injuries would be more of a concern with walking boots? I'll let you go over the whole revolution of why every athlete in the world seems to be in a walking boot.
Well, it does seem that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the kind of the general treatment of all injuries musculoskeletal wise, we talk about RICE, rest, ice, compression, elevation, right? So what does rest, when you rest a extremity, how do you rest it? You know, in the upper extremity, you might put it in an arm sling or you might put it in a little splint. In the lower extremity, especially around the ankle, hind foot, midfoot, forefoot, you can rest it by putting it in a boot. So every time you see somebody in a boot does not mean that they have had a significant time loss injury. That's the key. So when you see a player, if you're on TV and you're looking at the sidelines and you see a player, what you want to look for is, are they walking and putting full weight on that extremity? If they're putting full weight on that extremity, then they don't have a bad injury. They might have, you know, medium injury. They might have a 4 to 6 week injury, but they don't have a season ending injury. And so look how they're walking on it. Same thing if they've had surgery. They might be in a boot for a period of time. But look how are they putting full weight on it. And that's the key. So yes, we're just resting an ankle sprain. We might be resting, you know, a little midfoot sprain by putting them in a boot. That doesn't mean that's a major injury, okay?
All right, let me ask you, almost all lower extremities, can we get Achilles? Can we get calf? Do we see any walking boots with anything above the foot?
So anything from the knee down.
Okay.
Right? So in other words, when you rest a injury, usually you rest the joint below and the joint above it, right? In this case, so basically you can't, you know, immobilize the knee with a boot, but everything from the knee to the toes, the boot can come to play.
Okay. We're 18 days away from kickoff in college football. If your favorite college football team out there right now, one of your stars, I heard the LSU quarterback has a patella tendonitis. There's 1,000 injuries out there. We know all this. Which ones would you be worried about? Hamstrings right now? Like, which ones, if you see your star has an injury 18 days away, besides broken bones now, I'm not talking about season injury stuff, but like nagging stuff, the guys in a yellow jersey, are there some that you go, hey, you know what, 18 days away, this guy's going to be fine? And I know we're talking about different, I'm not talking about the different strains and different levels. I'm saying, like, hey, if a guy's got a hamstring, this might linger. Or if the guy's got some foot, you know, some pressure in his foot right now, or, you know, maybe some problems with the shoulder, which ones should we be concerned about 18 days out?
So I think part of the question you're asking is, any injury at this time of the season, we start to do some calculating, right?
Right.
Because we don't have a perfect crystal ball, but we're going to look at, let's take hamstring as an example. First thing I'm going to do is grade the severity of injury. We kind of know the location, which hamstring is involved, and then what is the grade involved. And so it might be, use the term biceps femoris, and it might be a proximal up towards the buttocks area, myotendinous junction, and it's going to be, let's say, a grade 2. Well, I know that particular injury, grade 2, and I'm grading it by ultrasound, maybe grading it by MRI. But a grade 2 injury is going to be about 2 weeks, right? And so, okay, now season, that first game's coming to play. You know, and we've got a couple guys that are in this exact situation, you know, and we're the problem with a hamstring is that if you try to get them back too early and they re-injure it, now you've lost them for another 2 to 3 weeks, right? And so there's a fine line on some of the soft tissue injuries where you want to get them back, let's say for LSU, but that's pushing it maybe a week, but you really need them. So you look at the game that you're playing, you look at the safety of the return to play, which is the most important thing for the athlete. And all those things go into the decision, because you know what the athlete wants. The athlete wants to play.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have to weigh that, and sometimes holding them back is a harder decision than letting them play, because they're ready to roll. So, especially as we get to the big games.
Doc, I want to lighten it up, and then I'll get heavy. So let me go light first. NASCAR driver Connor Zilich broke his collarbone as he celebrated. He tried to get on top of the roof of his car, and he slipped off. I feel bad, but when the way the guy landed, I'm like, oh, no. We see those sometimes. From a NASCAR collarbone standpoint, what would you say about that injury? You know, you're going to see my 6-year-old over there Saturday. Oh, by the way, he's missing one tooth since you last saw him. Tooth Fairy had to come last night. So that's another
one.
There you go. But a little bit different. Here's a guy, still a young driver, but can you drive a car with a NASCAR with a collarbone injury?
So the decision on when to do surgery sometimes is dictated by somebody needing, both from a professional standpoint, athletic standpoint, needing to get back sooner. We see this in cycling, like with Tour de France. You know, we'll have a guy, if you put a, you know, plate and screws on a clavicle, he's going to be back on that bicycle, you know, potentially at 10 days. You know, so same thing with a NASCAR driver. And so we have these injuries that are unexpected. They're kind of one of these, you know, hey, watch this, guys, and then something happens. You know, but in his case, his profession, for him to get back for a race and be able to drive a car safely, obviously, that in this situation, I want him to have full, you know, safety. I don't know his injury specifically and where it is, but I would have a low threshold to doing surgery on that one.
Well, there too, he's got other people's health and concern. You know, other drivers.
Right. Correct.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right.
All right, and then the heavy one. We saw in the Falcons and Lions game, I don't know if you saw the video or not, but Maurice Norris, a safety for the Lions, had a knee to the helmet, and I'm not sure, posturing or fencing. I know it had some seizure-type activities after he, you know, laying on the ground there. That's something that's just hard to watch. I'll let you touch on that, they take him off the field, and there's like a still quarter to go, but they cancel the rest of the game after seeing that. It's hard watching it, but I'll let you talk about those head injuries. And you always talk about helmet to helmet, but this is knee to helmet. That's a very important distinction that we see all the time too. But I'll let you talk about maybe what we saw in that game.
I think the most impressive thing, you know, when you watch the video, is the other player's reaction. You know, this is a violent sport, right? Injuries are part of the sport. But it's like it's okay. It's not, you don't want it, but you know, to tear an ACL or to break an ankle, that's fine. But these life-changing injuries around the head and neck are just looked at differently. You don't want that to be part of the game. Obviously, we've tried to, you know, regulate the head out of the game, but you can't eliminate all these injuries. But I think that the response of the other players was impressive. I mean, they at the end of the road, both teams are together on this, right? Yeah. You know, it's kind of like when Army plays Navy, you know, in football. You know, at the end of that game, those guys are all on the same side, right? And so I think it's that camaraderie of we're all out here playing this sport, but at the end of the road, you don't want the sport to end in tragedy. And so, you know, we did look at, and it has been looked at, the posturing that we've talked about a couple times, and it really doesn't appear that the posturing changes the severity of the outcome, you know, on a closed head injury, concussion type thing. You know, we're still looking at it, but that's one of those things that looks so bad, but it doesn't seem to be changing the recovery time frame, you know, from the posturing standpoint. But I think that the response of the other players was very impressive.
Let me ask, because we've seen posturing, we've seen that with those head injuries. Am I wrong? Like, I don't remember seeing a whole lot of, and I'm not sure if that's a seizure. I'm not sure how to classify that, but there were some convulsions. Was that a seizure type deal? Is that something maybe he was pre-exposed to before? Do you have any thoughts on that?
The seizure is a little bit different. The posturing is the effect. There's different parts of the brain. You know, you have basically the brain stem, which is a lot of your basic functions of like breathing and heart rate and things like that come from your brain stem. The very important is that as the brain gets closer to the neck in that region from an anatomical standpoint. And when the brain stem is affected, you can have some of these, we see these same posturing reflexes in an infant. And they're normal in an infant. They're not normal in an adult. But you can take a one-month-old, and they're going to show some of these same posturing things because their neurologic system hasn't developed. But it's a brainstem reflex that should not be there that we see sometimes after a closed head injury.
My wife has corrected me, predisposed to that. Doc, I like the light stuff, by the way. I like we can laugh at a guy in celebration. I don't like the broken collarbone that he had, but it is different than what we see. And it again, you know, what's crazy is this how 80,000 people can be so quiet because, man, you're just praying, you know, for these guys for sure.
Right.
Hey, great luck on Wednesday. I can't thank you enough help for that, for the family. I can't wait to visit with you next week. And, hey, I want to tell you, Doc, I'm 100% healthy right now. I have no personal questions. So that's good. And my son's feeling better now, so that's all good, man. It's usually talking about how my aches and pains.
Yeah. That is an important point for all of us is we don't think about it sometimes when everything's going well.
Yeah.
We think about it after an event. But ride the wave. There you go.
Doc, thanks so much. Dr. Steve Martin, he is our, first and foremost, he's a friend. Also, orthopedic surgeon, Blue Ridge Orthopedics, Prisma Health, head orthopedic surgeon, Clemson University Athletics. Arthrex is an amazing company. You know, Landon, you already know this. Arthrex is a major sponsor, on-the-field sponsor for the Greenville Drive. They got a couple of on-field logos there. That's nice to know. Careers.arthrex.com. You want to work for a great company right here in the upstate of South Carolina? Check out their careers.arthrex.com page. There's a bunch of big openings there. Orthopedia.com. If you have questions about your body and any of the orthopedic stuff that could be going on, that's a great source of information, something I trust and I go to often. And then Arthrex.com. Boy, I love Arthrex and what they do and these great people. They've been a big impact on us here at the station. We love this, folks, for sure. Short break. We will come back. When we do, we'll open up phone lines. And I've got some more Clemson football thoughts. More thoughts about scrimmages across the country in college football. That's when you return after this.
At Lake Kiwi Ford and Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we offer transparent pricing. You get the manufacturer's rebate. You get the dealer discount. You get every available discount. Military, college grad, subprime credit. If there's a discount you qualify for, we'll find it and give it to you. That's how Lake Kiwi guarantees you get the best price. And that's why if you buy somewhere else, you're gonna pay too much. So come see us. We're on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson and always open at lakekiwiautogroup.com.
See dealer for details.
Did you hear that? Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford offer transparent pricing, meaning you get every available discount. And right now, the discounts are huge because at Lake Kiwi, it's the final days of employee pricing for everyone. You pay what the factory worker pays, not a penny more. And the best part, with Lake Kiwi's transparent pricing, you see all of the savings. So go see the team at Lake Kiwi. They're on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson and always open at lakekiwiautogroup.com.
Hey Clemson fans, this summer turn up the style and turn down the heat at Tiger Sports Shop. Whether you're chasing the sun or staying in the shade, we've got lightweight looks from Nike and Lululemon to keep you cool. Don't miss out on our sizzling summer shavings. It's the coolest way to celebrate your Clemson pride. Football season is coming fast, so get your gear and be ready to cheer. Shop local at our two Clemson locations, Tiger Boulevard and College Avenue, or order anytime at tigersports.com. Where summer style beats tiger spirit.
When you're out on the water, peace of mind is priceless. That's where Towboat US comes in. With memberships starting at just $109 a year, you get on-water towing, jump starts, fuel delivery, and soft ungrounding for any freshwater adventure. Plus, we also offer boat salvage and boat recovery, boat transportation, and on-water training. Remember, we're here for you when you need us. Trust Towboat US to keep your boating experiences smooth and worry-free. Check HartwellLakeServices.com now.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
Anyone know a good plumber? It's an emergency.
One Tom Plumber will be there in an hour, or they'll discount your bill.
In 1 hour?
Yeah, just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber.
That's their name.
That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number. Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
We're here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, you need more people. Obviously, that's a good thing because the business is growing. But when someone comes to work for you, what do you hear from them about their work experience?
We're looking for team members who like to work outdoors and enjoy the culture of do the right thing. We're a company that's going to do right things for our employees, and then our employees do right things for the client and the community.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
What's going on, everybody? Facts and Childress here from Facts on Sports. I'll be live alongside John Hyde from 9 a.m. to noon, as always, on the Monday edition of the program. On Monday, we'll be recapping a full weekend in the sports world. Atlanta Braves series versus the Miami Marlins, college football updates with quarterback battles, NFL preseason, and more. And we will continue getting you ready for the upcoming college football season, which is going to be electric for not just Clemson, but for the entirety of the country. We look forward to hearing from you at 654 Roar on Monday. See you soon.
Are you incensed that you missed one of our daily shows?
And what do we have? We have an altercation of some sort down on the field. Shane Beamer is incensed, irate about something.
Stay calm. You can listen to all of our past shows at theroarfm.com and click on the podcast tab.
We've got our phones out with our lights on. We need video for the show.
Deeply unserious Monday morning.
What do you get the part where he goes, I know. That guy's talented, man.
What a great song.
What a talent, though. Like
Prince or Michael Jackson?
That's Prince. Oh, no, Prince is more talented than Michael Jackson. Because Prince can play all those instruments.
The guitar, yeah.
I'm going to make some people mad right
All-time
now.
All-time guitar player.
I'm going to make some people mad. I know what's going to happen. But let me first say, yeah, Prince has to be one of the most talented musical acts we've ever seen. One other quick point before I make everybody mad. So I was listening to a podcast the other day. And my buddy said, was talented. Yeah, sometimes you forget Prince is gone.
It's been a while, too.
Yeah, I know. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they're talking about how great Jimi Hendrix was. And he said that Jimi Hendrix was so good that, like, whoever the second best guitar player was at the time, like, they would go to his shows, and they would ask themselves, like, do I even need to be in music? Like, this guy's so much better than me. Like, Clapton would show up at Hendrix shows. And, like, that guy's doing stuff that I'll never be able to do that nobody's ever thought of. Like, what am I doing? And I'm the second best in the world. What am I doing? It's a lot like Tiger Woods. Like, you're the second best in the world, but you're so far behind number one. Like, do I need to keep doing this anymore? Now they're making a bunch of money doing that. All right, let me make everybody mad right quick. So my son and I are flipping around. We had a great weekend. We hiked all day Saturday, and then we went to the baseball game yesterday and all. But anyway, Saturday night, my favorite album right now is this Willie Nelson 90th birthday thing, long story short, and PBS had it on. And I hadn't seen a lot of the video yet, and so we just taped some of it. And I told you before, and let me be clear about this, I love George Strait. I think George Strait's great. But they haven't come out and sing Poncho and Lefty and another song that they sing together, but George Strait's got a guitar with him. But, like, he doesn't even know what to do with his guitar. Like, he's up there, and he's kind of halfway playing, not playing. The guitar's a prop to him. And I'm thinking about, like, how many instruments, like, Prince play. Like, how many instruments does Hank Williams Jr. play? And then this guy's supposed to be the best of all time in country music. Like, he can't even play the one. Like, he's just one. That's all I ask. Just play one. Anyway. And you see a Willie over there still picking that thing at 90 years old. And you look over at King George over there, it's like, he just looks lost with it. Boy, watch the George Strait hate people, you know, come on with that one. Tech said Michael Jackson was overrated, just a cultural phenomenon.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
No, that's a crazy statement.
That's a crazy statement. Michael Jackson was extremely talented. The dance stuff.
It's also just really, really good music.
Yeah, yeah.
Period.
Yes, yes.
I mean, fame-wise, that dude was as close to a higher power fame-wise as you're going to get on this planet.
Oh, yeah, too famous. There is a point in there where you...
He was too famous. Him opening his eyes or taking his glasses off would get...
Which one would you say was more famous for their time, Elvis or Michael Jackson?
I was not alive during the original Elvis time, but I was there at Elvis's end of his life, and it was close.
I think it's Michael Jackson, man. Like, based off, I wasn't alive for either of them. Michael Jackson had people fainting by simply taking off sunglasses.
Yeah.
I think it had to be him.
Yeah.
The Beatles may be a better question then for that level.
Yeah. All right. I want to get into this, and I'm going to get to Hal for the end of the hour, too. Jed writes in a very, very good point, and I was having this conversation with my golf teacher the other day. Jed says, is it getting to the point that the padding that we have around the helmets in practice will be implemented for the games with all injuries involving helmets? You can still have the logos on the helmets with the padding, but is that the case? Look, if you're watching Clemson do it now, you go to Clemson practice now, and they've got – their extra on top padding, and it's got the Tiger Paw logo on it and the colors. It used to be like white stuff. Now they've got them actually looking like college football helmets. It's a goofy looking thing. It looks like the Martian on the Flintstones deal. Like it doesn't look right. But I'll tell you this, it's almost like in NASCAR we have soft walls now in NASCAR. We're like, why didn't we have those before? I think in the next couple of years you'll see NFL, college, high school, maybe. I think you'll see this become the rule. And our helmets will just look goofy for about a half a season, then we'll get used to that. You know, when the NFL, remember when the NFL changed their, the college changed their, the referees' shirts to a little more stylish deal? And like black pants rather than white pants, and they had the stirrups and all that. We're like, man, that looks goofy for about half a season. So if I can save concussions, save long-term, short-term head injuries, if I can just cut that down a little bit, I'll be giving you, Sam, why aren't we doing this now? Because of the looks of it?
I think the Guardian caps are going to become more and more popular, especially with guys who have a history of concussions, especially now with when – I think the DeMar Hamlin thing, which that was kind of a freak situation, woke a lot of people up even more than they already were. It does feel like we're seeing this a lot. And there's more emphasis placed on it now. I do think the Guardian caps are going to become more popular. I don't know if they're ever going to be mandatory. It just depends kind of how we go. It's certainly going to become mandatory quicker if it does in the NFL and college, I would say. But I think we're a few years away from that becoming a conversation still.
I didn't realize. Texas said they're optional for NFL games now.
They are, yeah. You can wear them. A lot of players do.
In regular season, you can wear them?
Yeah, they look silly, right. But they if
they
work.
They started last year, I believe, right?
Yeah, if they work, they work.
So you said if you've already had a concussion, right? Well, I tell you a way you could guard against like multiple concussions is don't have the first one.
See, I think every NFL player is going to get concussed at some point in their career, Guardian cap or not. And it sucks
really?
To say that.
But do you, I mean, I don't know enough about the science of it. It just makes sense. The way you get a concussion is your brain moves inside of your skull and the liquid around your whatever, I think I'm right saying this, doesn't contain it and it slams the outside of your, or the inside walls, right? Well, if I've got an extra layer of padding out there, maybe it's a hoax. Oh, by the way, I was watching the Clemson and Notre Dame COVID ACC championship game last night. Y'all know how dumb we look during COVID. So the coaches have their gator things on. None of the players have the gator things on, and the coaches, when they're when they're like in between plays, they pull him up and then they call a timeout. And Dabo's out there and he pulls his Gator thing down to talk to his players and get closer to the face. Like, you know how dumb we looked, like thinking that any of that stuff was going to work? You looked up in the stands and there was nobody in the stands. And like, man, we were so stupid through that stuff. Anyway, when we look back at the same thing and go, why didn't we do this earlier?
Yeah, and me and Fax were actually talking about this at practice because everyone had them on, and I was just – I mean, I'd like to see, like, the numbers of difference it really makes, right? I think because everyone is moving at such a higher speed and the collisions that happen at such a more explosive rate, like, I feel like it's inevitable. Like, injuries are going to happen, and the scary ones are going to happen, and even if you put a guardian cap on, I fear I don't know how much of a difference it's going to make. Now, I hope it makes a big one. And I hope everyone chooses to do it, but a lot of guys may choose style over protection.
I ain't choosing style over what little brain I got left.
Well, look at how many guys – there was like maybe a handful of guys that chose to wear the Guardian caps last year when they were optional. So I feel like you're not going to see any change unless you kind of force it onto the players.
I look at it this way. We got a text, and I think it's a good point. If the Guardian cap has a need, there's no argument for not wearing it in game. So if
right.
we get data that says it helps prevent concussions, and you would need everyone to wear them probably for a whole season to start to put together this data. If we get enough data and stuff that says this makes a major difference and guys are getting concussed less on average, you do it. It's not the same sport, but I think about Dale Earnhardt when I think of safety regulations in sports where...
Yep.
Dale Earnhardt wasn't wearing a Hans device when he died at Daytona.
Right.
Would it have saved his life? I don't know.
Who knows?
It certainly would have made probably some sort of difference. Now, he did a whole bunch of other stuff that safety-wise wasn't smart in the car. That's what he did. He went out doing what he liked to do. He went out doing it the way he wanted to. But if there is a way to use better technology and safer technology in a high-contact, dangerous sport, if the data supports it, you do it. I don't care what it looks like.
Let me tell you something, boys.
You'll get used to what it looks like.
Let me tell you something. There is no worse radio show than having the host, and I hosted the Monday after Dale Earnhardt died. That's not a fun show, man. And if it just saves just one, like, well, anyway.
I think it should be mandatory for guys at a minimum with multiple diagnosed 2 or 3 NFL concussions. Like Chris Olave should mandatorily have to wear it. Denzel Ward should have to wear it. Damar Hamlin does wear it. He should have to wear it. At least for now, those guys should be required to wear it.
We track these things now. We're doing things now, like the kickoff stuff now. There will be a point in time. I might be wrong about this. I was going to say there will be a point in time where I look at the kickoff and go, well, that's not goofy. Because it does, it looks goofy, right? But if it's going to save it, then yeah, 100%. Then let's do it for sure. Tiger Harley said, I'm a racer, and I will say 100% yes, it would have saved him. Man, that's hard.
We haven't had a death in NASCAR since 2001.
I know. With his soft walls and Hans device.
The last one.
It is so hard to know that, like, he would still be with us right now. Maybe. Like, if that, you know, no way to tell that.
Hard hit. And, I mean, but we've seen hits.
It didn't look that bad.
We've seen hits at that angle.
Yeah.
Since then, repeatedly, that, I mean, we've seen worse.
Yeah.
But it's hard to judge what's worse with a hit in NASCAR.
Totally agree. And Tiger Harley says, I wear one now, and Earnhardt's wreck changed my thoughts on it. Good job, Tiger Harley. I didn't know you'd race her, Tiger Harley. That's good stuff. Ron, if you can't hang on, just because I only have a minute, I want to get you a full deal and get Howlin' full deal on here. So let's do that quickly. Short top of the hour break. My great friends over at Ingles does an impressive job. I got to tell you, like today, you're not going to be grilling out. Well, I don't know, maybe tonight by the time it might clear out of here. But on those rainy days, folks, do it. Get your crab cakes, Ingles, Maryland crab cakes and Charleston crab cakes. Do it. Get your all of your tailgate stuff, all the drinks, all of the tailgate. We're a couple weeks away now, so you got to have all that ready for you. Do it at Ingles. The deli department. You want to make a good spread for that LSU game, man. Get those boar's head meats and cheeses. Get that chicken salad, the egg salad. It will keep well in those coolers. You're going to love Ingles. You'll love tailgating at Ingles. Fill up with gas at Ingles. You're going to love our great friends. Love the prices. Love the savings. Love the Ingles Advantage car. Ron, I promise I'm coming straight to you. If you can hang on to a short break. Hal as well. Our telephone number is 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Do you think those Guardian caps will be how long before we implement that? Thoughts on all that? So much more. More scrimmage talk. Hour 3 when you come back right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.